Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered here with you this morning, but I have to ask the question, what are you doing here? What did you come to see? You know? What? I thought somebody was answering. Okay, very good. Oh, you were? All right, and the thing is that today we're going to be talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of it, and you know, a bunch of people came from all over the place. They were living a subsistence life. I mean, these people were not wealthy. They didn't have a lot of extra, but they took a time away from their life to travel to the place where Jesus was, climbed up a mountain so that they could hear him talk. There was something driving them, something making them come, something that they knew that Jesus had to offer. And that's what we're here for today, too. We're here because Jesus has something we desperately need. We know that we come weak, we come sinful, we come broken. But we have a God who is strong where we are weak. We have a God who's redeemed us, a God who walks with us, a God who gives us life. And so as we begin this day, remember who you are. A child of God. Remember the day that he made you that child of God, and remember that you wear the righteousness that Jesus earned for you. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we get to come into your presence today. Lord, we're not worthy. We're just not. We haven't lived up to your expectation, but you love us so much that you made it possible for us to be here anyway, Lord. You clothed us with your righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see you as the God that you are, to hear the message of your mercy, your grace, your love. And then, Lord, give us the courage and the opportunities, Lord, to live boldly for you, speaking your truth in this world. Thank you, Jesus, for this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sin and receive the forgiveness that God so desperately wants to give us. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, the next song we're going to be singing is You Are Worthy of My Praise. And what I want you to think about when we're singing this song is that he is the only one worthy of our praise. The only one that we were created to worship, the only one who can give us what we truly need. That's the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in eternity in his presence. He's the only one. Let's sing.
My name is Lars Vallon. I'm your newest elder. And it's my privilege to read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. And from my first reading, it's a great one they gave me to read. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, and it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the foolish wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, the foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world to despise things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lars. And now, the sermon text for today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is God's word for us today. And now it is time for the children's message. So kids, come on forward at this time. I'm just throwing stuff everywhere up here. And who's got the children's message today? The Falls family. There you go. Wow. Excellent. I can't wait.
All right. I promise I'm not a scary alien. Come on down. Because we get to talk about one of my favorite things today, guys. Does anybody know what I have on? I have a bee suit on, and we get to talk about bees today. It's going to be great. All right, so did you all hear what Pastor Bob just read about blessed are you who might be poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God, and all those things? We call that the Beatitudes. See, we're talking about bees today. Okay, about the Beatitudes. Now, some of those things maybe sound a little hard to understand to how we do it. So my first question is this. What makes you happy? What kind of things make you happy? Love makes you happy. What else makes you happy?
Joy.
What else makes you happy? Yes, go ahead. Jesus makes you happy. You guys have great answers. Oh. Legos might make you happy. Absolutely. What else makes you happy? Donuts? Yes. I mean, can you be sad while eating a donut? I don't think you can, right? Okay, so when we think of things like Legos or donuts or a new toy or our birthday, those things can make us happy, can't they? But do we stay happy all the time after we've done our Legos and we're like, well, that's done, right? So that's a little different. Being happy is a little different than maybe something called being content. All right. So when Jesus was talking, he wasn't just saying, be happy all the time in the Beatitudes. All right. He was saying, be content. So what if we did it like this? Be content when you have lost something that is dear to you because you know that you are dear to God. Right? Or be content with what you have. Do we ever want more? Because we know that the Heavenly Father will provide for all your needs. Are we always provided for everything we need? Uh-huh. Even though sometimes we want more. What about be content when you are caring for others because you have a Heavenly Father who cares for you? Can we share that love of Jesus with others? We're content in the love of God and we can share it with others. So being happy can kind of go up and down, right? We can be happy, we can be sad, we can be happy, we can be sad. But contentment is an attitude of the heart. And then later in Matthew chapter 6, just a few verses later, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, or maybe bees. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be by worrying at a single hour to your life? So do the birds worry about where they're going to get their food? Are they provided for? Are they cared for? Absolutely. And so all of God's creatures are content and provided for. And do we have that same care and love from Jesus and that he will be with us in all that we do? Yes. And God cares for us so much that he did what? He sent Jesus to die for our sins because he loves us so very much, which is so amazing. So to remind you all of the Beatitudes, okay, hold on a second. We have for you. Now you have to be very careful with them. Yours are all stapled. This is just the example. Okay. All right. I have a cup of dirt for you with seeds in it. So you can go take your cup of dirt. Oh, I'm going to hold on to this one because I don't want dirt to spill everywhere. Okay. You can take your cup with your flower seeds in them and you can take them home and you put them in a sunny windowsill and you can hopefully watch them grow and give them some water when this starts to dry out. All right, and it can remind you that God provides and cares for all the bees and the animals and everything, but he cares for you even more, so much that he loves you, right? So when you get your thing, hold on to your paper bag by the top so it doesn't top over. And then after we pray, you can go back to your parents and give it to them, and then you can go to little worship, all right? So let's go ahead and pray really quickly, and then we'll pass them out, okay? So go ahead and fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for caring for us. Thank you for always providing for us and everything that we need. Help us to be content, even when things are hard. And help us to show your love to all others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, come get your bag and then take it back to your parents. And then you can go to little worship. Mrs. Deutschley is back there with the cross.
It is now time for a little worship. 4-year-old through fourth grade can head to the cross, and the rest of us, as soon as the children are done. I got to say, just as a side note, my wife and I both have black thumbs. And if this gift was given to us, the lesson we would have to learn is how powerless we are and how we need God's strength because we will kill anything by ourselves. Yeah, that's what that is. All right. Well, today's text, I mean, this is a text we hear all the time, isn't it? I do realize this text comes up usually at least twice in a pericope. It's usually like on All Saints Day and then again now, and sometimes even a third time this text pops up. And it seems weird because, I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. You know, why on earth would we have to hit this one over and over and over again? And I think it's because this is a text that teaches us a message that we desperately need to hear. Because this message goes against everything we see in the world. It goes against all our experience. It goes against our own logic and reason. It is not something that we really, it doesn't resonate with us, but we need to hear it. The epistle lesson for today, I just love the very beginning. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Foolishness is the power of God, right? I mean, in our way of thinking, that just doesn't make any sense. And so let's dive into the text today and see about the foolishness that is the power of God. And to get a grip on this text, you first have to understand who Jesus was talking to. First of all, the Bible says that it was his disciples. He went up on a mountainside and he sat down and his disciples came to him and he began teaching them. And who were these disciples, right? They were like the cornerstone of society, right? They were the notable, the gifted, the wealthy, the influential. No, they were a bunch of losers. It was like, okay, we got some fishermen. That's 4 of his 12 disciples were fishermen, okay? That's an interesting qualification for ministry, right? You go out in a boat and throw a net in the water and catch fish, and that's your deal. A tax collector. He was very well respected, hated by his countrymen, considered a traitor of his people to work for Rome and collect taxes for Rome. See, we have a zealot. You know what a zealot is? One of these guys that decides that he's going to bring the Messiah earlier by using a dagger and killing people. Today we would call him a domestic terrorist. I'm not kidding. That's what we would call him. And that's who Jesus chose to be his disciples. I mean, it's quite a crew, right? And then there were the people. All right, because he saw the crowds, and he went up on the mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach. And he wasn't just teaching to his disciples. He was teaching primarily his disciples, but there were all of these people overhearing the message. And what kind of people did Jesus gather to himself? Remember, earlier we talked about the people who were motivated enough to show up. What were they looking for? Well, these were not the best of society, the moral people, the good people. I mean, Jesus did ministry, and he did ministry to the brokenhearted. He did ministry to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and all the other people under the big category of sinner. That's who Jesus did ministry among. That's the people he gathered to himself on this day. And then he begins to preach. And he says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I've heard this sermon preached as like, poor in spirit is the thing that we are all trying to achieve, right? Because if we can achieve that, we will be blessed. Have you ever heard that preached that way? Yeah, it's not the right way. Thing is this, You are poor in spirit. Whether or not you recognize it is a good question, but you are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit basically means this. It means that we know we have problems. We know we have troubles. We know we are not right. We know we are not enough. And we have tried so many things to try to fix it that we have finally got to the point where we realize there is nothing more we can try. We're out of options. We're short, and there's nothing we can do about it. We come to God with a learned helplessness. We have learned that we are not able to be enough. Do you think the people had learned that? Have we learned that? Well, in varying degrees probably, right? I mean, there's some of us who still think we can do it on our own, and to you I say, keep learning. Because finally at the end, you're going to realize you're not enough. Our strength is not strong enough. You know, a lot of times people look for a great leader. They want to follow somebody who is this great leader. And the kind of leader people look for is somebody who has the answers, who has the charisma to draw people to themselves. Somebody who is the person that they can follow, person that they can look to, person that has got it all together. And one thing I will tell you about every person that presents themselves as a great leader like that is they're faking it. Because nobody has the answers. Nobody has everything. Nobody is always strong. We're all broken. And when we finally come to terms with a brokenness, and the beauty is, the people who thought that they were strong were probably not the kind of people that were seeking out Jesus, because Jesus was the one who was ministering to the people who already knew that they were a mess. And so Jesus wasn't telling people, become broken. He was saying, you are broken, but blessed are the broken. Why? Because you already have the kingdom of God. And what's this kingdom of God? It's the rule of Christ. It's the ones who follow him, the ones who don't look to themselves, but they look to Jesus alone, because Jesus is the only one with the answers that we need. He's the only one with salvation. You know, it's when Jesus said to his disciples, you know, why don't you follow another? And they say, where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the only one. There is nobody else to turn to. I want to live in your grace, under your direction, that he would be the Lord of our life. If we're broken before God, we're already in his kingdom, because we're willing to receive him as our only hope. And then we have those who are grieving. And boy, anybody here ever grieve? I mean, even teenagers, you know, grieving at the loss of a friend. Kids, grieving at the loss of a toy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't have to be enormous things that we're grieving, but we all understand the idea of grief, right? But as life goes on, grief gets bigger, right? As I get to minister to people who are, you know, like in retirement homes, and people who are approaching end of life stuff, and think about all the losses that happen toward the end of life, right? Where all of a sudden already I can feel it, right? The things that I used to be able to do, I can't do those anymore. That's a loss. And as I get older, it's going to be more and more things that I'm not going to be able to do, which are going to be accumulating losses. And those losses are things that really do make a difference to us. And wait until we lose loved ones. Wait until we lose our home. Wait until we lose our ability to drive, our freedom. Wait until we be able to lose our ability to relate to people the way we want to be able to speak, to be able to write, to be able to... And as we lose things, we cry out like David did in the Psalms, where he says, how long, Lord? How long is this going to last? How long is it going to be this way? And we already have that, but it gets to be more and more as we go. And we have a God who says, soon, right? Because we are blessed if we are grieving. Why? Because we know that the relief of our grief is in him. And the day will come when we will go to the place where all that grief is over, that will be restored with our loved ones, that we will have our health, we will run and not grow weary, we will never faint, we will be strong again, because that's where we're heading. We have the people, blessed are those who are lowly. And lowly doesn't mean humble. Lowly means powerless. Lowly means the ones who are left behind, the ones who can't help themselves, the ones, the widow, the orphan, the crippled, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the ones who have lost and there's no way back. You understand? And who does that include? All of us, right? I mean, there are so many places in our life we have no power, we have no ability to overcome the problems that surround us. And so we're lowly. But we are blessed, because in that lowliness, in that meekness, we will inherit the earth. Isn't that crazy? That God's going to fill us up again. Those who are powerless, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Life gets so complicated. It's so hard to know what is right. There's so many times in life when we struggle with a decision. We struggle with which way we should go, what we should do, what is the correct thing. We don't even know. Sometimes it gets to be so complicated, and we desire knowing, and we seek after that. And the people who are seeking after that, the thing is does God have answers for us? You know, does he lead us in paths of righteousness? Does he help us to understand his will? In fact, Jesus even said this, he gives us the Spirit so that as we read his word, he will explain it to us so that we can understand exactly what it is God is trying to say. But in the meantime, we struggle. And as we struggle, our God will continue to, he promises, he says, if you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you are blessed now because you have God guiding you, but you are also blessed in the future because you will be filled. Blessed are those who are clean in heart. And again, the people he was talking to are the people who came to him, following him, asking him, wanting him, desiring him, listening to him. Exactly the kind of heart that Jesus desires, and the kind of heart that receives the forgiveness that Jesus offers. You know, the pure of heart, are they pure because they are good people, or are they pure because Jesus gives them cleanness? So blessed are those who are pure of heart. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Peacemakers, this is a great thing. I mean, the idea of being a peacemaker, do you know what this is? The centrality of the gospel right here. Do you understand that? I mean, the problem that we have is that we are not at peace with God before we are saved. That we are in conflict with God because we are sinful, we are messed up, we're bad. And somebody spoke to us the grace, the gospel. And as he did that, we received peace with God. And the thing is that when we have peace with God, we also, God wants us to have peace with his other children. And there are people who this is their gift, that they run around and they continue to help make peace between people because of the peace we have with God. And these people are called the children of God because they're carrying on the work that God has done. and blessed are those who are persecuted. You know, this is becoming more and more real today. We are moving into a time when we know persecution is happening. People are losing their jobs because of Christ. People are losing reputations because of Christ. People are using it. It's real. And the question is, well, how in the world can you be blessed when you're in the middle of being persecuted? And God says this. He says, when you are persecuted, you are living in the kingdom of heaven. You are living in the peace of God. You are living with Him as your Lord, Him as your Savior, Him as your hope, depending on nothing else. And so this is what He's doing. And folks, the deal is this. Life is painful. Jesus wasn't pulling any punches here. He wasn't giving us the formula by which we could avoid pain. What Jesus was saying is this. He said, life is painful, but I come to you in your pain. And I bring you hope in your pain. The people came to Jesus not because they were expecting him to take away all their hurts, but because they knew that he had the message that would make their hurts meaningful and give them hope in their hurt. That he continued to point them to the salvation that they were going to receive. You know, even John the Baptist struggled with this. You know, I mean, he was the one that was the forerunner, the one that came before Jesus, the one that told everybody who Jesus was, right? Until he got arrested. And then John the Baptist was in prison, and he was in prison for quite a while. Now, one of the things that John kept talking about Jesus was that Jesus was the one who was going to bring freedom to the captives. Now, how important do you think that was to John after sitting in prison for a good long time? You know, until John finally sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you the Messiah? Are you? Are you really? Or am I supposed to be waiting for somebody else? Because I'm not seeing this for me right now. I'm feeling like I'm not free. And Jesus, his answer to John was just, he told the disciples, tell them what you see. The deaf are healed. The blind are healed. The lame are walking. John died in prison. He never did get out. So was God's promise moot for him? Where is John now? Is he free? Is he ever going to be in bondage again? Was he freed just to his regular life, or was he given a life that's far beyond anything we experience today? So folks, here's the hope we have. We sit in our pain right now, and it hurts. There's no question. And we ask, how long will this be? And we look into the eyes of our God, and we hear his word, and he says to us, soon. Now, this isn't the kind of soon that we always like to hear, right? Because right now we're hurting and we want the hurt to end. But the God who loves all people, the God who holds on out of graciousness because the full number have not turned to him, have not come to faith in him, he waits because of graciousness, and we wait because we share in his work. And in the middle of our suffering, we look to his peace. And we trust in the one who says soon. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. God above all. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we exist as your disciples, Lord, the people that you have made, the people who you have gathered under your name and given faith, the people that you have declared to be your disciples, that you have recreated in us a heart, Lord, that follows after you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us strength in our pain and help us, Lord, as we serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time to continue in our worship service. Let's continue as we sing. And I'm on the wrong page, sorry. Yes, better is one day. As we recognize our brokenness, we realize that being in the presence of God is the best place to be. So better is one day in his house. My friends, let us stand and confess the faith that our God has taught us using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. It is now time for prayer and care, as this is the fifth Sunday of the month, and as so those who have been selected or asked if you guys would come forward to pray with people at this time, the rest of you, I invite you to come forward to pray, to share your needs, to bring your concerns, your joys, whatever, before the Lord, and to be prayed for and with this morning. And as that as people are coming forward, we're going to be singing. But in addition to that, I want to give you the opportunity also to be praying for the people that come forward. You might not know why they are up here, but God does. And so we can just continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ during this time as well. Let's pray. The prayer and care Sundays. God has definitely given us a lot to be grateful for, but we also know that life can be a real burden and difficulty, and it's absolutely amazing that we are able to have that time to pray with each other and for each other. So let us continue our worship service by praying, and please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made us your people, brought us into your church, into your family, Lord, given us your word and given us each other, Lord, so that we can continue to encourage and uphold each other, Lord, until the day you come for us again. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those who are struggling, Lord, in so many different ways to struggle in life, whether it be sickness or financial issues or whatever it would be, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would help us never to lose sight of the gifts that you have given us, and the especially, Lord, this gift of life, that while we live, you have work for us to do, and that you continue, Lord, to use us for your purposes. Lord, I pray that you'd show us opportunities, give us strength and wisdom and words and courage, Lord, so that we can do the right thing at the right time and bring glory to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us, Lord, as we do ministry here at St. Mark's. Lord, not just the formal ministry of the church, Lord, but the ministry of each individual person, Lord, as we work in your world under your guidance, Lord, according to your plan. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless your people as we work together. Lord, I pray especially for our school today, that at the end of the National Lutheran Schools Week, Lord, and the blessing that each and every one of these children are to all of us, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the ministry that prepares these children for a lifelong relationship with you, Lord, and a life of service to you and to your people. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Oh, God. princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see this grace. And we
Jesus came to show us the love of God. That's what he came for. He came so that he could deliver to us the forgiveness of sins. And he came today for the same purpose. He came in this meal, and through this gift, God gives us that gift of faith, that gift of forgiveness, Lord, that strength that ties us to him. That's what we get in this. And he gives it to us because he knows we are weak. But because of him working through us, we can do his work. As we have received this gift, depart in his peace with his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. All right. Just two things to say this morning. I won't even make you sit down. First of all, we're coming into snow season. Have you noticed? We actually had a snow day on Wednesday. The children were ecstatic. The teachers were probably even a little bit more ecstatic. But that's how that goes. But the thing is that if we ever do have to call church off on Sunday, because mostly we're going to call it off because the people who are running the service can't get here. Because I know you guys could probably get here anyway. But some of us might not be able to because we're coming from all over the place. And so if that is to happen, we're going to email it to the people who are on our email list. And if you're not, then you might not get that. So then check our website. And if you can't do that, then check the Facebook page. And if that's a problem, then you can look at channels 2, 4, 5, or 30. Got that? So we're going to broadcast it as broadly as we can. We'll let you know. I usually try not to call off unless it's like a absolute certain thing that we're going to be snowed out. I usually try not to call it off until about 5 in the morning on Sunday, just because I've called it off early before and felt really embarrassed when nothing happened. All right, so I mean, I'm a little shy on that one now. But anyway, that's basically our plan. I try to call it off as early as I can so that everybody can know, but yeah, otherwise I kind of, do the best I can. All right? So God's blessings. We do have somebody, Lars is going to be in the prayer chapel to pray with you, our brand new elder. And if anybody needs prayer after the service today, and with that, God's blessings on your week, folks.